It's time now for a look at what's making the headlines in the Press Review with Deepthi Laurent. And Deepthi, you're starting with the German elections.
Yeah, that's right, Oliver. All important elections in Germany this weekend, coming, of course, at a very tense time for Europe. For Politico, the news website, it is actually possibly the most, the quote, most consequential post-war election that Germany's ever seen. In all likelihood, the conservative Friedrich Merz could be the next chancellor, and he will have three tasks ahead of him: toughening Germany's asylum system, kickstarting an ailing economy, but also addressing issues that concern younger voters. Now, one country which will be closely watching these elections is, of course, France, because historically the Franco-German couple, the leaders of France and Germany, have had a very close political relationship, and the election of a new chancellor in Germany will certainly impact future relations for both countries. This is indeed something that Libération is noting, that Europe is waiting for Germany's the results from this election. Germans must make their choice this weekend. That's what La Croix, the French, another French paper, the Catholic paper, says on its front page. The paper also noting that with this election will also be marked by the strong gains that perhaps the far right will also make in these elections. In any case, forming the next German government will certainly be a complex exercise. It's been that way in the past, and it's certainly shaping up to be the same thing this time around as well, Oliver.
And what are the German papers saying about it?
Well, you have the Frankfurter Allgemeine on its on the front page of its website today, focusing on that debate that took place on Thursday evening between all the candidates, a debate that covered three major topics: how to secure peace in Europe, how to change Germany's health system, and again, the concerns of younger voters. Now, on the question of these possible peace talks in Ukraine, the left and far-right AfD parties rejected arms exports, the NATO alliance, and military spending. The Social Democrats, the Liberals, and the Greens, however, showed an openness to increasing defense spending, and certainly these will be some of the issues that will affect, or at least that the next government will certainly have to tackle very quickly. The paper nonetheless hails what it calls a lively and interesting political debate. Now, also from the same paper, there's been quite a lot of focus or scrutiny around Alice Weidel, the far-right leader, whose personal life seemingly has come under a microscope this week. She's a leader of a far-right. She is in a same-sex union with a partner who was born in Sri Lanka, and yet she's fronting the far-right anti-immigration conservative party. Now, Alice Weidel, for her critics, is a woman of contradictions. But this, the Frankfurter Allgemeine says, is a sort of scrutiny that is does not, for instance, extend to her male rivals. And the paper says it's not as simple as just accusing her of, I quote, preaching water and drinking wine. The paper saying that historically, sociological research shows that people who belong to minorities actually gravitate towards the AfD party because the issues that affect them directly are among the issues that the party tackles, even if its core ideas include racism, homophobia, and anti-Semitism.
And to Cambodia now, where the International Journalist Network Forbidden Stories is shedding light on the death of a reporter last year.
Yeah, that's right. The journalist collective lifts the veil on the shooting death of a 63-year-old journalist last year, Choeng Cheng, the journalist who held a press card but was actually not paid for his work, which is, according to Forbidden Stories, a common practice in Cambodia, was shot while coming back from filming a report in the Beng Pair Wildlife Sanctuary, a sanctuary that is really a sanctuary in everything but in its name only. It's seen three quarters of its primary forest destroyed in the past 20 years. As Forbidden Stories notes, covering environmental degradation in Cambodia is risky business. Between the illegal activities of timber magnates and the corruption of authorities, Chuang, who was illiterate and so filmed his reports, was more like a whistleblower. At least that's how they liken him in this article here. He regularly denounced those who felled trees, be it locals or corporations. Denouncing them on social media, it's believed that the farmer suspected of having killed him actually killed him over those posts on Facebook, which included denouncing locals who felled trees in exchange for money.
And the British dailies today are up in arms over the decision to sell the creative rights to James Bond to Jeff Bezos's Amazon.
Yeah, the most American of corporations will now have creative rights over James Bond. Bond productions will be, inherently American going forward. And as you can imagine, it's not going down too well in the British papers. This is from the Daily Express on the top corner here. Shaken and stirred, it says, 007 franchise to be taken over by Amazon. Will the sky fall in? The Daily Mirror asks on its front page here. And it notes that the future of James Bond is also very uncertain going forward. There's an interesting article from the Telegraph as well, which calls this takeover an assault on Britishness. The paper saying that it feels like 007 is dying a second death, while conceding that any franchise needs refreshing. The buck has always stopped with the British company Eon Productions, who has been responsible for James Bond films since 1961. Whereas the paper says there's nothing British about Amazon Studios, and the Daily Telegraph is worried that Amazon, I quote, might milk the brand into the ground, I quote, for all we know, Bond might start calling his dinner jacket a tuxedo or start slugging bourbon from a bottle. Be very afraid, it says.
Elon Musk will obviously be kicking himself. He didn't think of it first. But finally from you, she became the face of the fight against sexual violence. Giselle Pellicot is among Time Magazine's Women of the Year.
Yeah, that's right. A beautiful tribute by Time Magazine. She's part of one of the 13 women chosen by Time Magazine for its 2025 list of Women of the Year. They're credited with helping to create a better, equal world. Excuse me. The magazine paying tribute to Pellicot, who waived her anonymity, of course, to attend a months-long trial against her husband, who was found guilty of drugging her and then inviting men to rape her while unconscious over 10 years. Time says she galvanized a movement for survivors of sexual violence.
Thank you very much for that, Dipti Laurent.